Well, we truly want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And for you who did not make it out to the hospital with us, you missed a good time. We had a very great time visiting in the rooms as well as the singing in the hall, and it was very much appreciated by the patients and as well as the visitors. And I just rejoice in the fact that I had several opportunities when I went from room to room to give the pencils, the Lord really was working, and had several that asked for prayer. And so that was good, too, as I had a conversation with them. Then again, we had a good time in the home. And if you didn't come out for that, once again, you missed out. Now, I'm not quite sure over at the home whether they enjoy all the cooking from you good ladies here, the cookies, because they like those cookies to take home a bag to their room. But they did enjoy the singing, and we had a good conversation. And I want to say how good it was for those of you who mingled. That was the thing that they remarked about to me afterwards. There were more that talked to us, and we liked to talk to the people. And so we were able to be with the senior citizens there. And so we thank the Lord for that, and we continue to pray for them. Well, I want to begin by saying that when Jesus was born, the birth was little observed. There wasn't a big deal about the birth. You remember John chapter 1 and verse 11 where it says he came unto his own and his own received him not. And as I think about the fact that there wasn't a lot done at his birth, I think of today, oh my, Christmas, when you go into the stores, you're not hearing anything to do with the Christmas carols or anything like that. It's all happy holidays, but many people are not really getting the point of what Christmas is all about. As I've told you before, I have the joy, my wife and I, of having the international students come to us on Christmas, and generally speaking, they want to know what Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas, is all about. Because all they know about is swapping. Not particularly giving, but swapping gifts, and go out and hear all of this here, decorations and so forth. But when I ask them to spell the word, oh, they're surprised that the first part is Christ, and that's what it's all about. And so, you see, it was back then, too. There was little acknowledgement about his birth. And the first to take note of his birth were the shepherds, as we read of in chapter 2 of Luke in verse 15. I say they're the first to take note because when the angels appeared and spoke to them, they did something about it. Yes, notice the verse. It says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They wanted to see it. They wanted to hear it for themselves and this glorious event. And we find that what they did in verse 17 and 18, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But what did they do about it? They wondered about it, but what did they do as they heard the news? Now, the next thing that we notice in Luke chapter 2 is the effect that Simeon and Anna had. And I just want to read a couple verses there. And Luke chapter 2 and verse 26, where it says this, "And it was revealed unto him," that Simeon, "by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy words." And then notice also down there in verse 38, for sake of time, we have Anna who came in, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So we do have the faithful few, those who did take notice of his birth. But now I want to go to perhaps maybe a year later, maybe even to up to 2 years. And what we're going to do is read the account in Matthew chapter 2. And I've asked Joe if he would read for me, because the lighting here is not my thing. Okay, but we're getting new lights, people, so good.
Okay, Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen this star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Then they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, and are not at least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them into Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced in exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by the night, and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they were no more. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought for the young child's life are dead." Then he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in the city of Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene."
Thank you, Joe.
Now, as I said, this account could be up to approximately 2 years. We don't know exactly what, but we have the account of Herod, and one could be confused, as many people are, about the chronology of the events surrounding Christ's birth. One could say, or could think, that Herod tried to kill Jesus, the baby, when in a stable. And many people think that. However, verse 11 makes it very clear that at this time the child was in a house. Time had passed by before the wise men came. So verse 11 makes it very clear that the Lord Jesus was in a house. Now this man, Herod the Great, as his title was a descendant of Esau, converted to Judaism. Perhaps it was a political movement that motivated him, but we read that by Julius Caesar in B.C. 47, at the age of 15, Herod was appointed to the governor of Galilee. In B.C. 40, the Roman Senate made him king of Judea. He was an able, strong, and we find out he was a very cruel man. He increased greatly the splendor of Jerusalem, because what did he do? He built the temple, right. And because he built the temple, that gave him the title of Herod the Great. The temple, of course, was the place of worship for the Jewish people in the time of the Lord. But even though he built the temple, he was a very cruel man. Now, when it comes to the wise men, the question is, how many wise men were there? We don't know. Where did they come from? From the east, but where in the east? We don't know. And we could also ask the question, how long was their journey? We don't know. We don't know how long it took them to come. Now, they could have said, these wise men, when they saw the star, "We'll wait till the news comes to us." But no, they didn't do that. They decided that they would check it out for themselves, the star. And so we find the wise men left their homes, and they came seeking the king that was born. And the question that they asked was this: where is he that was born king? They expected the Jews to be excited about it, to be expecting him. They didn't ask the question if he was born. No. They asked the question, where is he that was born? Now, you got to remember that these wise men were Gentiles. They were not Jews. And so when they came, they thought the Jews would be excited about it. But we find that they came, and the star in the east made them aware of the birth, and it possibly, I don't know for sure, but they might have been familiar with the Old Testament prophecies. There's the one in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17 that says these words, that out of Jacob, yes, this one would come. I'll just read that for a moment. Numbers 24 and 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. They could have, I'm not sure, okay, they could have connected that prophecy along with the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. You might want to just turn there, but keep your fingers here in Luke. Daniel chapter 7, I meant to say. Daniel chapter 7. And let's read from verses 24, I think it is. Yes, 24. Daniel chapter 7, 24 through 26. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue these kings. It's not the chapter that I want. Maybe it is chapter 9, 24. It is chapter 9. Okay, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, what they have in this here prophecy, if they understood it, which I don't know that they did, but you got here the 7 weeks, which is equal to 49 years. Jerusalem was to be rebuilt in that time, as we just read in the portion there in Daniel. And you have these weeks are 7 years. 70 weeks of 7 years each. And within these weeks, the national chastisement must be ended, and the nation reestablished in everlasting righteousness, as we read in verse 24. Then was fulfilled in, when Jerusalem was to be rebuilt again. We have that prophecy fulfilled in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. That's what the book is, those books are all about, is building it back again. But then we have 62 weeks, which is times 7, 434 years after Messiah was to come in verse 25. Now, notice that is very clear, as it says that in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25, knowing therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times, which it was. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Now, the Messiah would come, speaking of the birth, and that was fulfilled in the birth of Christ. But of the crucifixion, as Daniel talks about it there, we don't have for sure the exact time, but we do know that it's to be after 62 weeks, or 62 weeks and 434 years. Now, which is the first event of verse 36? The second event is the destruction of the city, which is fulfilled in A.D. 70. That's when the destruction of Jerusalem took place, in A.D. 70. Then on to the end, it says, as we read that portion in Daniel chapter 9, it's not fixed, but we've already had 2,000 years pass by. 2,000 years have already passed, and it's going to come. God's word is true. You can count on it. Now, did the wise men understand this? I don't know. They might have. Did the people understand that? Perhaps not. Probably, I'm just saying, probably it was communicated unto them supernaturally to the wise men. But nevertheless, the star was a miracle. And this miracle took place, and the star appeared. It led them, then it disappeared, and then, as Joe read to us, it reappeared, the star did, and it stopped over the house, as we read in verse 9. Now, the star stopped over a house. I mean, if it was leading, it was right over directly the house that they were in. Now, the wise men were shocked. They were expecting to see that there'd be others that would be interested in this star. But there wasn't any interest shown by any. And they were shocked. There was not much, seemingly, any knowledge of the star. And when Herod heard the news, he was troubled. Now, it was one thing for Herod to be troubled, but did you notice also in verse 3 that all Jerusalem was troubled? Instead of rejoicing that the star appeared, they were troubled. All of Jerusalem. And then Herod called for the religious leaders, who went immediately to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, where it talks about, but out of thee, yes, and he shall come forth. Oh, brother, I know this verse just as well as not. I'll look that up here for a minute. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we'll read it. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, Yet out of these shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And right away, these religious rulers or leaders, they turned to Micah 5:2. And they made it very clear that it was Bethlehem Ephratah, because you see, there were several Bethlehems in Judea. And so in order to have the right one, we have Bethlehem Ephratah, and they all agreed where it was going to be. And we later on in light, in the history, in John chapter, I have a note here on that, John chapter 7, and I want to read a verse from there where it talks also, John chapter 7 and verse 42. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? And so it was very clear where it was to take place. And we find, but Bethlehem, what does it mean? Pardon? House of bread. Good. Oh, yeah, it's very appropriate that he should be in Bethlehem where his birth would take place, because what did he say? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And so he's the bread of life. And we have that in John 6:51, and in John 6:35, too, we have that he's the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So what was the famous gate? What was at the famous gate of Bethlehem? What was there? You read it several times, I'm sure, in your life. What was at the famous gate of Bethlehem? Remember, David wanted something from that gate. When he, pardon? I can't hear you. Yeah, a well of water. Now, isn't that significant? That at the gate of Bethlehem was that well. And what do we read over in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Oh my, Bethlehem was the place where he was to be born. Now the next thing that we notice in verse 7, that Herod, he called for the wise men to talk to him secretly. I think that's quite interesting. He talked to them secretly. Because, you see, what he was asking is, when did the star appear? Now, the reason he didn't ask him openly is because, you see, he had evil thoughts within. And so because he was a man that was cruel, he didn't ask openly what time did the star appear, but it he covered it up because he said, you go and find him, and when you find him, you come back and let me know where he is so that I can go and worship too. He had no idea of that. Now, this is a strange thing because, you see, Herod now had reigned 35 years, and but he was still very jealous of the fact that there was another one to be born king, and you would think he's at the end of his life now. He's ruled for quite some time, and the years have gone by, and why was he so jealous and cruel? But that was his nature. And so the wise men, they left him. And then when they left, the star appeared again. And you'll find that in verse 10. And when the star appeared, they had exceeding great joy. But they went alone. Nobody else was concerned about following the star. It's like today. There's many people who are not following or seeking. And so we find that the wise men, yes, they went alone. Now, Bethlehem was only 7 miles away. That's all it was, just 7 miles. But nobody else cared to go. Yeah, you see, it's a very strange thing. There's another verse that comes to my mind as I was studying this in 2 Peter, and it's chapter 1 and verse 7 that says these words. Second Peter chapter 1, not verse 7, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. My, we have a sure word of prophecy. But here we find that they went alone, but God was with them. Now, when they arrived, we find that first they offered themselves. God was with them, and they presented themselves first, then their gifts. And my friends, that's always should be the order, to present yourself. And we do not worship, we do not read, that they worshiped Herod, but when they saw the child and his mother, they worshiped the child. Now in Matthew chapter 2 here, it's most important to notice that verse 13, verse 14, verse 20, and verse 21 always mention the child first and then the mother. That's very important today because that we take that in, because there's a big emphasis today on mentioning the mother first, putting her on equal basis. I'm sure that most of you are aware that there's a group that wants to have her as the co-redemptor, as if she did the work. But it's the child that they came to worship. They were really wise in that they did this. Now, Joseph is not even mentioned in this whole account. It's the child first and then the mother. Now, when they offered their gifts, the first they offered was gold, which was the symbol of deity and glory, and it speaks of his shining perfections, of his divine person. Then they offered frankincense, which is as an ointment or a perfume. It suggests the fragrance of his life, of sinless perfection. And then myrrh is a bitter herb which speaks of the sufferings he would endure in bearing the sins of the world. And it's myrrh is used for embalming. And so they offer these three gifts. And the key thing that I would like you to get out of it, though, is we need to first offer ourselves. So now what does that speak to me of? It's not of our works, friends. We can't work for our salvation. Many people think if they do something for him, give something, they can make it to heaven. But you first of all need to offer yourself. And if you do that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to give to him. Now, when you meet believers or people who say they're believers and they don't give unto the Lord, you could have some questions. Not that we are to judge, but it's amazing, you know, at the Lord's Supper, we have an offering and we come to worship the Lord, and the offering takes place there. It's one of the things that's on the table. It's done after we have the worship time and collectively as we worship the Lord. And may I say, my friends, if you're a believer, first of all, you should be there. And then secondly, when you're there, you should give. You give unto the Lord the glory and honor that's due unto him. And you can't outgive him. It's a great thing to be able to be able to give. Now, they were warned in verse 12. And after that, they departed. And we don't hear of those wise men in the Word of God ever again. We don't hear of them again. But, oh, they gave us a great message of what we've heard from them. Now, I do want to notice Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 6. Just for a moment, this verse, Isaiah 60 and verse 6, and we find these words. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Now that is another prophecy. It's a future prophecy. But it's not the prophecy that has to do with his first coming. He came, and they brought the three things. But notice, in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 6, there's only the two things, the gold and the frankincense. Because you see, this prophecy here in Isaiah has to do with the time when Christ has his second advent, when he's coming in power and glory. There's going to be no suffering. He is going to reign. No need of the myrrh, just the gold and the frankincense. These wise men were divinely, yes, warned in a dream not to return to Herod. Now, there's a good thought here. They went another way. And let me say this to you, my friends, if you come to him and you worship him, you'll go a different way. You always will. There will be a difference in the way that you depart. And oh my, if you know that, that when you come to him, yes, and you are worshiping the Lord, you'll depart a different man or a woman. And if there's not a difference in your lifestyle, yeah, in your way that you go, questions could be asked whether the person really knows Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, we find that they were warned in a dream and they went a different way. And my time is gone. So I got to quit, I guess. But I want to say this, that by faith, Joseph was warned in a dream also. I like Joseph. We don't hear a lot about Joseph. But what I like about Joseph, he was a real man. I often say to the young people today, he was a young man that was engaged, got married to this woman. And, you know, he could control himself so that he didn't even know her or have sex with her until after the baby was born. How different it is with young people today. Yes, or people on hold. But Joseph was a real man of God. And Joseph here again, we find that by faith, when he had this dream, not knowing whither he went, he fulfilled Scripture and took him down to Egypt, because we're going to read in the rest, as we did read, that Herod was going to destroy every baby boy 2 years of age and under in Bethlehem and the surrounding towns. But I think the thing that we want to end with here is that Joseph was led step by step. And you know, that's a great thing too, because the Lord will lead us step by step if we're trusting in Him. So I'm just going to ask Dan if he'll just close in a word of prayer, because my time is up. We didn't get down to the chapter. All right.